right. Psalms 96. Psalms 96. Anybody got a testimony to see? Sure. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? She mentioned that she knows a lot of people. Her Todd knows a lot of people, and I've heard her mention several people several times that used to go to church. They used to be faithful, but they're out now. And you know what? If we don't stay close, we could be the same shape. And I was thinking about that right before that. We all ought to invite somebody to come to church. Even if you have to go visit somebody. I don't care where they're at. I'm living a pretty good ways away from here, but I believe if we could all invite two or three people a week to church, go out of our way, to invite someone, I believe we could get some people to come to church. I'll tell you what I always seen at Zion Hill when I was up there. We would visit. We knocked nearly every door that we could tell the best. We left a track in White County. Now, this county would be impossible for a small group of people to do. But they were just a few of us, you know, that would go knock doors every Saturday. I seen this. I seen we would go knock doors and maybe they didn't come, but somebody else would come. God would honor that time of visiting that we would sacrifice and go knock on doors. In a lot of places, we've went in neighborhoods that I could feel suppression. I could feel the suppression, satanic suppression in some of those places where we went. I've had people come to the door and you tell them what you're there and they just turned around. I followed one guy in the house one day. He didn't tell me to come in, didn't tell me not to. And I followed him in there and I tried to talk to him. And he just sat back down in his chair and went doing what he was doing. And I just left finally. I left him a track and left. I knocked on one door one day and this lady come to the door and she said, I told her who we were. She said, well, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I said, really? I said, what are you doing at home? She said, I've got to eat. It was at lunchtime. But you run into all kinds of things. When you get on the firing line, when you get in the battle, when you get in the field, you'll run into things that you never expected to run into. And a lot of times you hear people tell these stories and things and situations that they got themselves in, and you know, you think, reckon that's true. But it's true. A lot of that stuff is true. And when you get out there and you begin to work and you begin to knock doors, you begin to try to win people to Christ, you'll run into things. And I believe every church ought to be a soul-winning church. I had a lady one time, they were joining a church. She said, I sort of wonder if they're a soul-winning church. I said, well, are you a soul-winner? You know what makes a soul-winner is people that win souls. People that are concerned and burdened for people. I mean, we do a lot of things and go and talk about a lot of things, and yet a lot of times we never mention Jesus to people. And if you don't whet your appetite for winning souls, hey, we lose it. We lose it. So let's start trying to invite people. Some of those people that you know that's out of church, go out of your way. Go see them. You and your wife, go visit them and give them an invitation to church. Tell them that you're concerned about them and you'd like to see them in the house of God. And if we do that prayerfully, if we get to the point and place that early church did, when they got filled with the Spirit, they went out and they spake the Word of God with boldness. They spake the Word of God with boldness. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take us getting concerned. It's going to take us getting filled with the Holy Ghost. If we ever see revival, I believe we can have revival. As cold and as dark as times are in this land, I believe that we could have revival if we really want it. But I'm going to tell you, we've got to really want it. Salvation's free, but revival will cost us. I'm not just talking about a series of meetings. I'm talking about a move of God. When God comes down, He visits with us and gets in our lives, and He changes our lives totally. He'll revolutionize our lives, I believe. Psalms 96. The Bible says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. Before the Lord shall rejoice. All the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth." I want to preach for just a little bit, Lord being my helper, on the thought of a ministry with meaning. A ministry with meaning. There was a book on the cover, this statement said, "The early church had the power to turn the world upside down. Now it's your turn." And what a challenge that is for us today, as we've just mentioned inviting people and doing something for God and witnessing to people, getting to that point and place where we desire to see people saved, and we get that burden to reach out and to win people to God. Hey, our desire should be to have such a church that would be a soul-winning church. Hey, we need the power of God, I believe, to reach people in this day, to help change lives and to turn our community upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude chapter 1, verse 22 of Jude says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." Until we get some compassion, until we get some love, until we get a burden, I don't believe, hey, we're going to see anything done for God. Hey, we can get satisfied with the status quo, the way things are, and it'll continue that day. Hey, we want to see people get help and save their marriages and put their lives back together. Hey, we ought to want to be able to see young people's lives turned around and see them saved from the destruction of drugs and alcohol and immorality. Hey, we want to reach children before their lives are ruined by sin. And today, this world that we're living in, we're seeing a lot of children, a lot of young people. Hey, they grow up in bad situations, in sinful situations, and we watch their lives just ruined. We want to be a church that can help somebody, hey, that can win somebody to God and get them on the right path before their lives are ruined. We could all probably tell about people in our families, in our neighborhood, and people that we've come into contact with, that we've seen drugs and we've seen alcohol ruin their lives. We've got it on our road, all up and down through there. We was talking about a young man just a little bit ago, and we don't know, we heard that he might have died, and we see what drugs and all that kind of a lifestyle can do. Hey, we ought to want to be a church that can change people's lives. Hey, we want to put the hope of heaven in people's hearts and see the light of Jesus shine in their eyes. Hey, we want to be a part of healing hurts and meeting needs by winning others to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God wants to do these kind of works through the church today. Hey, but these things don't happen in and of it themselves. It's going to take some people that care. It's going to take a ministry must have certain qualities, I believe, before it'll start to make a difference in the lives of individuals as we go through this life. And I believe there's four things here in this psalm this evening that we want to look at that it's going to take to have a ministry with meaning. First, I believe it's going to take an experience of joy. Hey, there in verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day." I believe God's people should be a joyful people. Hey, I believe that as we go through our work days, I believe, hey, that we ought to be a joyful people, that people would see, hey, that there's something different in our lives and in our heart, hey, that has changed us from what the rest of the world, hey, most of the time, people's always got the mully grubs. If we're not careful, we'll get the mully grubs and we'll lose our joy. People won't see the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Hey, we spend too much of our time, I think, thinking that life would be more enjoyable if only we had certain things. Things don't make people happy, I promise you. I've seen people with a lot of things, hey, that they didn't have the joy of God in their life. Hey, they didn't have, there was no happiness there. And a lot of times we think that if we just had more things, that life would be more enjoyable. We think that a lot of times more money will make us happy. Hey, we think a lot of times that more friends will make us a better person and more freedom to do the things that we want to. A different job, maybe. A lot of times we get disgruntled with the work that we're doing. And then a lot of times we think that fewer problems. Let me tell you, if you're living life and you're doing anything, hey, there's going to be problems. A newer car, a bigger home, better clothes, all these things is not going to make people happy. If you have Jesus, you have the greatest possession, hey, that God has to give. This evening, you need to thank God that you're saved, that you're born again, hey, that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, hey, that your sins are forgiven, that you're going to heaven one day. Why then are we always looking to lesser things in our lives, hey, to bring joy and to give us the joy in our heart that we need? We've got the best thing that this world could ever have is to have Jesus in our heart. Hey, it's a blessing to know, hey, that you've been raised up in church, you've heard the gospel of the grace of God, hey, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and He's forgiven you sins. Why do we allow the cares of this world to drive the joy of heaven out of our hearts a lot of times? But we see that today. I mean, there's nobody much. It seems like they have the joy of the Lord. Every once in a while you run across somebody. Hey, but that our joy is to be expressed, the Bible tells us, in a new song. The psalmist said over in Psalms 40 said that the Lord pulled him up out of a horrible pit, set his feet upon a rock, and established his feet, and put a new song in his mouth. That's what we need, is a new song. That word, new, it also means fresh or recent. It's not that the words have been sung, but that they're sung from a heart that has had a recent encounter with God. and a new appreciation of God's person or work. It's a new song that's bringing joy and peace to an individual's heart. A fresh experience of God's grace and power and love. Hey, we'll put that new song on your lips again. In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote, hey, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Hey, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Hey, our joy sounds real. Hey, when it springs from a fresh and daily experience of God's work in our lives. And I promise you, if there's never been a work of God in your life, you wonder why you don't have that joy that you should and that song on your lips, hey, you need to check up and see where you are in your relationship with God. It's that quality of joy that convinces others that God is real and makes Him attractive to a hurting world. This world don't know about Jesus. Most of the people, 7.5 billion people, and the majority of those people don't know Jesus is their Savior. It's that quality of joy that convinces people, hey, that something's different about you. Hey, that God's done something in your life. Hey, that puts joy in your heart. I believe an experience of joy is going to make a meaningful ministry in our churches. A church that's filled with people that's got the joy of God in their heart. I was noticing this evening on that this preacher that has got this sickness. He's in the hospital. He's in a coma now. Hey, they had a pastor's appreciation for him today. Hey, but his church there, even though all the things that's going on, hey, his wife and those people, they have the joy of God in knowing that even if Ryan doesn't make it, hey, he's going to a better place. What a blessing it is. We see not only an experience of joy is going to make a ministry meaningful, hey, but an emphasis on evangelism there in verses 2 to 6. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Hey, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. Hey, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. So we see an emphasis on evangelism. I believe we're to witness with our lives. So we're to show forth a salvation that something has changed in our lives. Hey, people need to see, hey, that a relationship with Jesus has made a difference in their lives. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Hey, behold, all things have become new. Hey, the Bible describes a salvation as a new birth, and it tells us that we are to become new creatures in Christ. When you trusted Jesus as your Savior, you got a brand new start in life. Hey, you became something that you were not before, a Christian. The Bible tells us over in the book of Acts, and they were first called Christians at Antioch. And that name was given to them as a derogatory word. But hey, the fact is, a Christian is to be Christ-like. We've been born again. We've been given a new start. Hey, it don't matter how deep in sin an individual was. Hey, when God pulls him up out of that horrible pit, He sets his feet upon a rock, He puts a new song in his life, and He gives him a new life to live. Hallelujah for a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we're called to display a lifestyle with certain distinctives, I believe. Hey, there were five new things demonstrated in that early church, I believe, hey, that allowed them to turn their world upside down. Number one was the new identity. I mean, they were called Christians. I mean, when that early church was started, hey, they knew that they were Christians. They were saints of God, called to be distinct from the world. And this evening, it's not changed. Hey, if you've been saved and you've been called and you've been called out of the world, you've been called to be a different person. You know, we still got that old man there. that flesh still raises up. A lot of times that anger tries to pop out. But I'm going to tell you, hey, we've got help inside. After the new birth, after Jesus takes up His abode in our lives, and even after we have that new identity, I'm glad, hey, we've got help that we can face things and not allow those things to come forth in our life. A new identity. A new choice. Hey, they knew, hey, that they must choose to experience godliness on a personal level. They were different. They were called to be different in this world. They were called to be an example to the people that was around them. And you and I today, what opportunity, hey, we have. We have to make a difference in this world. I mean, you get on the expressway and you get to riding up and down the road and people's anger, they get so mad at just little things that takes place. And if we're not careful, hey, we'll get caught up in that. Hey, we ought not be pulling guns on people. We ought not be getting angry and road rage over someone that cuts us off. I mean, Bible says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord who are called according to His purpose. Hey, somebody cuts you off, it might be saving your life. We need to look at it with that in that aspect that, hey, God allowed that to happen. We were, when we got to Montrose, Colorado, and we was just had gotten down, we was deciding where we was going first, and the first thing you know, all of a sudden, kabam. This lady, we come by, and she pulls in, tires the trailer up, and $2,000 later in a day, probably 18, 20 hours later, we was on the road again. You know, we didn't get angry. We changed the lady's tire. You know, I felt sorry for her. She got charged with reckless driving. But, you know, that might have saved our life. You don't never know. A new identity, a new choice, a new master. Hey, they knew that the Lordship of Christ was not optional. It's funny to me today, hey, that this world, hey, we think that the Lordship of Christ, after we get saved, is optional in our life. Hey, He's Lord of all. It don't matter what you think. Hey, He's still Lord. I believe in Lordship salvation. I believe the Apostle Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do there on the road to Damascus? I believe if we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, I don't believe we can trust Him as Savior without accepting Him as Lord. Now, He's not Lord of a lot of people's lives. We know that. But I believe that when we trust Him and we believe upon Him and we receive Him, I believe we receive Him as Lord and Savior. Now, some people take issue with you on that. A lot of people don't. They say if you're preaching Lordship salvation, that you're preaching a type of works. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. It's all by faith. It's by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Hey, you're just receiving Him. Hey, not only as your Savior, but as the Lord of your life. And it'd be a better day, hey, when we learn to allow Him to be Lord of our life. A new master, a new power. They knew that the Holy Spirit resided within them, imparting godly character and empowering them for Christian service. A new power. You know, God, when He saved you, He gave you the Holy Ghost. You received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He took up abode. Hey, we have the power to live the Christian life. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith and the power of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The Holy Spirit power is in every believer. Now, He's grieved in a lot of people's lives. You can't live in sin. Do the things that the world used to do, or you'll grieve the Holy Spirit. And that power will be suppressed in your life. But I'm glad, hey, that early church, they had a new master, they had a new power. And then They had a new community. They knew that, hey, they were part of a body of believers. Hey, that they were designed to thrive in the environment of a local congregation. A common faith and purpose connected them. Hey, it's the same thing today. We're connected to one another. We're part of the body of Christ. Hey, we're part of a new community when we trust Jesus as our Savior. And when we demonstrate these truths, I believe, in our life, hey, then we'll turn our world upside down for Jesus in this day and hour that we're living in. I still believe it's possible to make a difference. We don't so many times. But hey, it's still possible for us to make a difference and turn our world upside down. We've watched and seen churches that's got on fire for God down through the years, and we've seen God use those churches, and it just all boils down to one thing. That individuals will be submissive to the will of God and allow Jesus to be Lord of their life and to use them to reach a lost and dying world. Hey, we're to witness with our lips and declare His glory there in verse 3. Hey, our faith must not only be seen, hey, it must be shared. You can live the cleanest life and walk the cleanest life that you can in this world, and God be pleased with that. Hey, but we're to share that faith as we come in contact with individuals. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, he tells us, says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How are others going to hear? It says, how can they hear without a preacher, and how can he preach except he be sent? I believe we're all sent to witness, to share the gospel, to give the gospel to those that we come into contact with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. I believe every Christian is called to be a personal evangelist. I believe every individual here this evening can be a soul winner. Now, I've said this a lot of times, and I'll say it again. I believe that some people are better soul winners than others. My friend Bear, he just passed away not too long ago down there in Texas. He was a great soul winner. He loved souls. He was burdened for souls. He looked for those opportunities. He looked for those opportunities. He'd pull up on a bridge, and somebody'd come up out from under the bridge for him to witness to. Why? Because he had such a burden. He prayed for divine encounters. I wonder, how often do we pray that God put somebody in our path? I wonder if the reason we're not winning anybody is we don't have a burden for lost souls. I wonder if the reason we're not having any divine encounter is because we're not praying that God would give us a divine encounter with some lost individual. I believe every one of us are called to be soul winners, to witness to people, to tell others. Hey, can we just be content to sit in our pews, sing our songs, but not never tell anybody about Jesus? We see the importance of an experience of joy and an emphasis on evangelism, but also, I believe, number 3, an expression of personal commitment. An expression of personal commitment. The Bible said, verse 7 to 9, said, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. 3 times here the psalmist tells us to give. I believe giving is an expression of commitment. Our lives reflect the values of the things, hey, to which we're committed to. A lot of people are willing to commit to a lot of things. Hey, but we find today, hey, there's a lot of people that's unwilling to commit to the will and the direction that God has for their life. The most important thing in our life should be the will of God. I believe the psalmist mentions 4 things, hey, that we're to give to the Lord as an expression of our commitment to Him. Number one, we're to give Him glory. We're to give Him glory. This speaks of giving God, I believe, the first priority in our life. Give God priority in your life instead of the things of this world, instead of things that you want to do. Hey, a lot of times we're committed to what we want to do. Hey, the things that that are appealing to our flesh, but yet we're unwilling to commit to God's will and God's direction. We're to give God glory. It means that everything that you have and everything that you are has been dedicated to God. You place nothing above Him in your life. I'm going to skip this part. It's an illustration and it's a long one. So, we see that salvation is free to you and I. Hey, but if we want to give glory to God through our lives, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us everything. It's going to cost giving up some of the things in our own life. All must be surrendered to Him this evening if we're going to make a difference. We're going to have a church, a ministry with men.
hey, that there's something real and there's something different about a Christian life. To have a wholehearted commitment in this day that we're living in, when people are so uncommitted. People are uncommitted in their marriages. They're uncommitted in their work. Hey, Darrell can't even get workers that are be committed for much more than a month or two. Get them trained and they move on down the road. Why? They didn't have no commitment. And we need to be committed, wholeheartedly committed to Jesus in our lives, to live by eternal values with our eye to the sky and our ears tuned to the sound of the trumpet. Jesus is coming. Hey, this world don't think so. But I promise you, friend, this Bible is true. And He's coming. And until He comes, we need to be doing what we can to have a meaningful ministry here at Open Door Baptist Church. See people saved. That's what it's all about, is getting people saved. Get people prepared to go to heaven. Training and teaching people how to live and how to conduct themselves that'll make an everlasting difference in people's lives. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity to be in Your house this evening. We thank You for these that have come out, Lord, taking time, Lord, to come worship this evening. Lord, truly You are worthy of our worship and our praise, Lord, that we can give You. We thank You, Lord, for that opportunity to be at the house of God on a Sunday evening. Lord, go with us as we go our separate ways. Help us as we leave here, Lord, to focus on committing to trying to win somebody to You, trying to reach somebody that we can make a difference in their life. And Lord, then I pray that You meet back with us Wednesday, Lord, as we go down Peachtree Road. I pray that You give them a revival. Lord, we listen to preachers and we realize that we're all dealing with the same things as we go through this life, as we're trying to pastor. Lord, that people are to that point and place, Lord, that we just have to preach the truth all the time and just stay true to the gospel. Lord, we realize, Lord, people need the Lord in this day and hour that we're living in. Help us, Lord, and we'll give You glory and we'll give You praise for all that You do. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.